Amen. Well, again, welcome to Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday traditionally marks the beginning of what we call Holy Week. It's Holy Week because this is the day that Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem for the very last time before he would die on the cross and then be resurrected from the grave. It's Holy Week because this is the week that we see Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. It's the week that we do see Jesus arrested and be crucified. We see his conquering of death and his resurrection from the grave. And so we're going to spend a few minutes this morning looking at the significance of Palm Sunday and how Palm Sunday really set in motion what would take place the rest of the week, and that what would lead ultimately to the culmination, to the celebration of why we will have Easter Sunday next week. We're going to look in the book of John this morning. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn to John, we'll start in John chapter 12, and then we're going to back up one chapter and look at John chapter 11. But just to give you an idea of how significant this last week of Jesus' life here on earth is, John is a 21-chapter gospel. 10 of John's chapters deal entirely with the last week of Jesus' life. So almost half of his entire gospel is devoted to this one week of Jesus' life. Just to give you an indication of how crucial all of the events, all of the things that took place this week are. So if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 19. And what we're going to see here, and this is how your outline starts, if you like to follow along and take notes, is Palm Sunday was a celebration of a resurrection. Palm Sunday was a celebration of a resurrection. We normally think of Easter Sunday as the day that we celebrate a resurrection. And indeed, it is. Easter Sunday is a resurrection celebration. And next Sunday, we will celebrate our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will focus on the empty tomb that Jesus left after he was placed there as a dead man. And then 3 days later, was brought to life to live and reign forevermore as our Lord and Savior. That is why, by the way, that the theme next week is empty. And if you've seen the cards that we have, then it says empty on there. If you want to take some cards with you, we have some out in the foyer. If you want to use those to hand out as invitation tools or methods for neighbors, friends, co-workers, whoever. But it's all about how the grave was empty. The tomb was empty. Jesus was no longer there. And he did rise. And he did defeat death. And he did conquer the grave. But while Easter Sunday is the celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the grave, Palm Sunday is a celebration of another man's resurrection. This man's name is Lazarus. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave just a couple of weeks prior to this Palm Sunday. And here's what John says and why this Palm Sunday is really a celebration of a resurrection. If you go to John chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, we read this. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him. So this is why it's called Palm Sunday, because they are laying palm branches down before Jesus. And they begin to shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And so they are quoting out of Psalm 118, and they are quoting a messianic psalm that says, "Hosanna, Savior, you are the Savior. You are the one who has come to be our King. You are the Savior who will redeem us." Verse 15, it says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you seated on a donkey's colt." And these things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. And so What we're seeing here is that a lot of the people who were gathered to celebrate Jesus, coronate Jesus as the Messiah, the Old Testament Messiah, the promised Savior is to come, a lot of those people were present at the resurrection of Lazarus from the grave. And so they are there and they are testifying about him. Verse 18 says, "For this reason, also the people went about," or they went out and they met Jesus because they heard that he had performed this sign. So a lot of people are gathered because they heard that Jesus had raised somebody from the dead, this somebody being Lazarus. And then verse 19 says, "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him.'" So let's go back one chapter into chapter 11 and let's look at the death and the resurrection of Lazarus and how this led to this coronation, if you will, this crowd who was excited, who was looking to coronate, to herald Jesus as the coming Messiah and Savior because of what they had seen, what they had testified about, what they had heard about with this resurrection. So, A, there in your outlines is the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. And what we know when we go back and we see and we look at here in John chapter 11 is, number one, there in your outline, Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus who became ill and he died. Lazarus, a close friend of Jesus, he became ill and he died. And we know that because verse 1 states that a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And then you skip ahead to verse 14, and Jesus tells his disciples very plainly, he says, "Lazarus is dead." And then in verse 17 of John 11, it says, "When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. There's no question that Lazarus has died. He's not just ill, but his illness has led to his passing. Someone who's ill is not put in a tomb for 4 days. He is very much dead. And so number two, the question of why was the prevalent question on everyone's mind. The question of why, Jesus, did you allow Lazarus to die? That is the question that is prevalent on everyone's mind when Jesus enters into this town of Bethany. Lazarus' death had caused his sisters, Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, to grieve deeply. And I'm sure that they did everything they could to try to nurse Lazarus back to good health, to try to get him well. They even sent for their friend Jesus, whom they knew was a miracle healer. As a matter of fact, if you go back into John chapter 11 and you look at verse 3, it says, "The sisters sent word to Jesus saying, 'Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick.'" But in verse 6 here in John chapter 11, we see that Jesus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill or that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So Jesus didn't come to the rescue right away. Jesus didn't come as soon as he had been summoned. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't even make it to the funeral. Lazarus has already been placed in the tomb, and he's been in there for 4 days before Jesus ever shows up. So when Jesus does arrive, the agonizing question on everyone's mind is, "Where have you been? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you get here sooner?" In verse 21, the very first words out of Martha's mouth to Jesus are, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When you go to verse 32 and you see the other sister, Mary, her very first words to Jesus are exactly the same. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Other family and friends, other acquaintances, they're thinking the same thing. Because in verse 37, we read, some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying?" And so the number one question on everyone's mind was, "Why, Jesus? Why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you do something? If you had just come sooner, You could have saved him. Why didn't you heal him and save us from this grief? And I think many of us here this morning can probably relate to Martha and Mary. Right? I think many of us can probably relate to their question. I think there's probably a lot of us in this crowd this morning that could probably give testimony to someone that we loved and we cared for that was ill and we prayed for and they didn't get well. And God didn't heal them. And they passed away. And it wasn't because in our prayer we lacked faith, because we prayed with a lot of faith and it still didn't happen. Matter of fact, Martha and Mary, they when they sent for Jesus and said, "Come and heal," it wasn't because they lacked faith. As a matter of fact, they absolutely believed. Both of them stated, "Jesus, if you had just been here, you could have healed him." So it wasn't that they lacked faith when they were praying or when they were summoning or asking Jesus to intervene. They believed with all their heart that Jesus had every bit of ability, capability to heal their brother. And I think many of us have maybe had the same questions when we've lost a loved one that we've faithfully prayed for and asked God to heal, and God chose not to. And what we're able to see played out here, and what we learn, is number three on your outline, is that Jesus had something much greater planned for Lazarus's life than just merely healing him from a sickness. Is that Jesus was going to do something far greater than what the sisters or anyone else was even asking Jesus to do. And so Jesus tries to explain to Martha when she asked why he didn't come and heal her brother. And in John chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, we read Jesus' explanation to Martha. He says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And so she says, "Yeah, I know Jesus said there's going to be a day, but what I want you to do is I want you to heal him now. I want you to fix this right now." And Jesus responds to her and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ. You are the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." And Jesus is explaining to her that there is something much bigger going on here with her brother. His passing is meant to be a demonstration for God to be glorified in a manner even greater than what she or her sister has been asking of Jesus. And this is why Jesus explained to his disciples back in verse 4 of John chapter 11 that after word came to him that Lazarus was sick, he told his disciples, "The sickness is not to end in death, but it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." And Lazarus' death was meant to show that Jesus is more than just a miracle worker who can heal blindness and sickness. Jesus is saying that this death is going to end in such a way that everyone will know that I'm the Savior who comes not only to heal a sick person or a disease, but I'm here to give life. Lazarus' death was an opportunity to show what will ultimately happen to everyone who puts his or her faith in Jesus Christ when they die. What Jesus is about to do in Lazarus' life is going to be a demonstration to show that when you trust that Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life, then when you die, it's as if you really don't die at all. That when you die, you will be brought back to life. That's what Jesus is about to demonstrate. He's about to show that when you truly trust me, when you truly hold to the fact that I am God and I am the resurrection and the life, that when you really die, it's as if you actually don't die at all. So number four on your outline says Lazarus's expiration resulted in his resurrection, or Lazarus's death resulted in his resurrection. In order for Lazarus to be resurrected, he had to first die. And Lazarus's death and his resurrection, it was a precursor. It was a demonstration to show that when you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will not stay dead. That's why Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, anyone who truly believes on the resurrection life, even though he dies, he doesn't die. And you say, well, what does that mean, Jesus? It means that when you die, you're not going to stay dead. It's as if death doesn't even happen to those who believe in me, who put their faith and their trust in me. And so he's going to demonstrate that. He's going to give a very visual, very practical, a very clear picture, a real life picture of what will happen to all who believe in Jesus eternally. So you go to verse 38 and 39 here in John 11, and it says, Jesus, being deeply grieved, or being deeply moved within, he came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And then in verse 43 and 44, it says that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. And so what just took place before this crowd's eyes, before the eyes of Martha and Mary and the rest of their family and friends and the crowd that had gathered to see what was going to happen, what just took place before their eyes was a dead man coming back to life. And it was as if he had not even died. He didn't raise and the stench was not on him. The decay was not there. It was as if he had not even, death hadn't even touched him. So Jesus says, unwrap him and let him go, because this man is a living man. He's not a dead man. And it's a picture meant to demonstrate exactly what happens when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and we die. We too will be raised to life again. So verse 45 says, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what Jesus had done, they believed in him. And this is why Palm Sunday was a celebration of a resurrection, and why in John chapter 12, verse 19, that we read just a moment ago, the Pharisees said, look, the world has gone after him. Because that's what happens when people see dead people being brought back to life. The world is going to be drawn to him. The world is going to say, that's what I want. Amen? I mean, raise your hand if you say, that's what I want when I die. I'm not here to stay dead. I'm not here to stay in the grave. I'm not here to say that this is it. I'm all in on this. If my faith in Jesus is going to result in life again, and so that death doesn't even really touch me, I'm all in. And that's exactly what Jesus is showing us. So as much as Palm Sunday was a celebration of Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave, Palm Sunday ultimately is going to point us to a much more significant resurrection. And so Roman numeral 2 there in your outline says Palm Sunday really points to a celebration of a much more significant resurrection. Palm Sunday pointed to a celebration of a resurrection, for sure, that had just taken place, but it wasn't the resurrection that ultimately would be celebrated for millennia after millennia after millennia. That resurrection is what we're going to celebrate next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Palm Sunday ultimately points to and readies us to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. Everything about Lazarus' resurrection led to the events that took place on Palm Sunday. And all of those events and the rest that happened during the week of Holy Week following Palm Sunday set in motion what is the celebration that we call Easter Sunday. And so I pointed out on your outline, number one, Lazarus' resurrection resulted in the crowd's celebration of Jesus as the Messiah. So again, we've already looked at John 12, 12 through 15, that said the crowds were gathered, and part of the reason why they were gathered was because Jesus had just done a great miracle, and they were convinced as a result of that miracle that this is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this is the one we've been looking for, this is the one we've been waiting for, this is the one the Old Testament tells us is to come, the one who's going to bring us redemption, the one who's going to bring us salvation. Luke confirms this in Luke chapter 19, verse 37, when he says the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. And so that's Luke's version of what was taking place on Palm Sunday. They began to want to praise Jesus, give Jesus glory. They began to put palm branches down in front of him. They began to herald him as Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord, the Savior, the one who has come, the one that will bless us, redeem us, bring a salvation to us. And they did so because they were convinced of the miracles they had seen. This is indeed the Savior. The other miracles, the healing of the blind, the casting out of demons, the healing of people who were sick. But it was especially the resurrection of Lazarus, the demonstration of an unprecedented power that they had never seen, that showed that Jesus is indeed God. And the reality of who he is began to set in, and what will happen to all who put their faith in him when they saw him raise Lazarus from the grave. Another way that the resurrection of Lazarus is a celebration that led to Palm Sunday, that set the events of Holy Week in motion, was number two there in your outline. The resurrection of Lazarus and the celebration of Jesus as Messiah led to a greater resolve by the Jewish leaders to kill him. We read in John chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, that the chief priests, they plan to put Lazarus to death also, it says in verse 10. So everyone's excited, everyone's praising Jesus, everyone's getting excited about this dead man who's been brought back to life. But the religious elites, the Jewish authorities, they're not excited about it, because all of a sudden Jesus has these followers, and so they say, well, let's just kill Lazarus again and let's get rid of him, because he serves as a living, breathing testimony of the power of Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. So they don't like that, so they said, let's get rid of Jesus as well as this Lazarus that he has raised. And then verse 11 says, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. And then we already read in verse 19 of chapter 12, the Pharisees were saying, you see that we're doing no good. Look, the world has gone after him. And so as a result of the crowds of people belonging to Jesus and believing in Jesus because of the resurrection of Lazarus, the Pharisees are all the more resolved to put Jesus to death. And so this celebration on Palm Sunday is now leading to a fast track of Jesus dying. And number three says the determination of Jacob's or of Jewish authorities to kill Jesus led to his unjust condemnation and to his crucifixion on the cross. It's the events of Palm Sunday that would eventually lead to what we call Good Friday. Good Friday would see Jesus unjustly condemned and crucified on a cross. The events of Palm Sunday and Jesus being heralded as the promised Savior and Messiah of the Old Testament was more than the Jewish authorities could bear. And so they got really serious about coming up with a plan to have this Jesus arrested and ultimately killed. So they arrested him. They came up with a sham of a trial They brought him before Pilate, the Roman governor, and they convinced Pilate to have him crucified. And so we read in John chapter 19, verses 17 through 19, they took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, and there they crucified him. And Jesus, just like Lazarus before him, he had to die if he was going to be raised back to life. And so, number four on your outline says, Jesus' death led to his resurrection, which is what solidifies the forgiveness of our sin and the imputation, the transfer of his righteousness to all who believe. The resurrection didn't happen until the death took place on Good Friday. And the reason we call Jesus' death on Good Friday good is because of all the good that it accomplished for us. Jesus' death accomplished great good. It was the ultimate plan of redemption that God had for humanity. If Jesus didn't die, then we could not be forgiven of our sin. If Jesus didn't die, we couldn't be made right with God, because it was Jesus' death. It was Jesus' taking the wrath of God the Father upon himself. It was Jesus becoming sin on our behalf so that we might be forgiven, so that he might take our place, so that he might suffer an excruciatingly painful and agonizing death under the righteous judgment of God, so that we wouldn't have to. Palm Sunday triggered the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Prophecies like Isaiah 53:5 that says, he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What made Good Friday so good? What solidified everything that Jesus did on that Good Friday was what happened 3 days later on Easter Sunday. And we'll save that for next week. But if Jesus had stayed dead, then his death would have been for naught. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, if Jesus' tomb were not empty, then everything that Jesus did in his death and everything that his death accomplished would have been no good. It's his resurrection that brought about a solidification of everything that he accomplished for us. That discussion we will save for next week. But know that everything that Jesus did in this holy week that we are going to celebrate all week long, and again, I hope you'll come tonight. We're going to celebrate tonight with Act 1. We're going to celebrate again Thursday with Act 2. But all week long, everything that we are going to celebrate was set in motion on this day as Jesus began to be heralded as exactly who he was, the Messiah, the King, the Savior of the world. And the reason why Jesus didn't stop the people, the crowds, from proclaiming him as Messiah is because they were doing exactly what they should have been doing. They were acknowledging exactly who Jesus is. And so when the disciples were said, Hosanna, you are the Savior, you are the King. And the Pharisees start saying, stop, quit heralding him as King, quit telling everyone that he is the Messiah and the Savior. And then they even look at Jesus and say, do you hear what they're saying? Tell them to stop. And Jesus says, I will not. If they don't cry out, then the very rocks themselves will cry out. It's because he is who he says he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Palm Sunday is meant to show us that very truth. Let me give you two takeaways today that you can hopefully take home with you. Lessons that I hope you'll take away this morning, and that's Roman numeral number 3, Palm Sunday takeaways. And the first one is just this. When it seems that the Lord doesn't show up and answer your prayers, it may be because He has something much bigger that He wants to do. It may be because He has much bigger plans than what you're asking. So don't lose hope. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just like Mary and Martha, when they asked Jesus to come, He didn't come. Exactly when they asked Him to do. Know this, is that God's timing, Jesus' timing is always perfect. Amen? Mary and Martha didn't understand that at first. The rest of the acquaintances, the rest of the friends, they didn't understand. But what Jesus understood was, I'm about to do something much greater than what you guys are asking me to do. Yes, I understand that if I come right now, I can heal him. Yes, I understand that if I come right now, he doesn't have to die. But what you don't understand is that if I come right now and I do that, then you won't get to experience a much greater revelation that I'm about to show you. And that same truth is oftentimes true for you and me. A lot of times when we're asking and God is not showing up, when we think that He should show up, or He's not answering the way that we think that He should answer, then it's in those moments that we just need to step back and say, God, I trust You. And if You're going to give me a no, or You're going to give me a not yet, or You're going to tell me to wait, then I will trust that You're going to do something much bigger, something much greater than maybe I'm even asking for. And so God, continue to help me to have faith and trust and hope and not let me give up. Amen. And then the second truth, the second takeaway I hope that we can walk out of here with this morning is this. In times of both sorrow and celebration, remember God is working to reveal a glorious plan of redemption. Lazarus' death began with great sorrow and then it ended in a great celebration. Palm Sunday began with great celebration, and by Good Friday there was great sorrow. But Sunday was still to come. Easter was still on the horizon, and once again there would be great celebration. Keep in mind that in times of both tears and laughter, in times of both grief and celebration, God is constantly at work. Don't lose sight of that. God is at work to bring about a glorious plan of His redemption in Jesus Christ. And we as His people need to be heralding that truth. And yes, there's going to be times in our life where we're going to grieve. And there's going to be times in life when we're going to celebrate. And in all of those times, God is sovereign over it all. And in all of those times, in both grief and sorrow, tears and joy, God is working a glorious plan of redemption. And may we, His people, be the ones who are heralding, great is our God. Whether we are grieving in a moment or whether we are celebrating in a moment, God is doing a great plan and we will trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray that You would help us not lose sight of all that You are doing in both times of grief as well in times of celebration. And as we enter into this holy week, I pray, Father, that this would be a great week of celebration because we know the story. We know how it ends. We know that it doesn't end with Good Friday. We know that all that Jesus did and accomplished on the cross was solidified. It was brought to reality with His resurrection on Sunday. And so we know that for those of us who have a hope, faith, trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, we too will be raised to experience life and life eternal. And we are grateful for that. And so may You help us celebrate You this week in great ways. I pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't yet know You as Lord and Savior, God, that You would move and work and bring them to a point and a place where they put their faith, their hope, and their trust in You. And we'll give you all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.